reconvene Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and I will recess the Board of Supervisors and convene the In-Home Support Services Public Authority. Public comment on 10A on the Public Services Authority. None in-house, any online?
Showing none online.
I'll go to 10B, County Administration. Morning again.
Morning again, Chair Haley Hudson, Deputy County Administrator. So this item is before you to present the fact finder's report issued pursuant to proceedings under the Myers-Millis-Brown Act, Welfare and Institutions Code, and Public Employment Relations Board related to negotiations between the County of Siskiyou In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority and SEIU Local 2015. As background, the parties reached impasse during negotiations and proceeded to fact-finding under PERB procedures, the Government Code, and the Welfare and Institutions Code. A neutral fact-finding chair was appointed to review the parties' positions regarding bargaining and issued recommendations on the impasse. The fact-finding chair acknowledges Siskiyou County's ongoing economic constraints. While the report characterizes the union's comparability arguments as reasonable, the county notes that IHSS providers are currently paid at the state-established minimum wage, and any increase would create ongoing fiscal obligations. The report indicates that the union's proposed $1.70 per hour wage increase would move the county from approximately 24th to 8th among comparable small and rural counties in total comparison for compensation. Balancing these considerations, the fact-finding chair recommends a wage supplement of $1.10 per hour to be implemented in phases as structured. 60 cents upon contract ratification, 25 cents at the first anniversary of the contract, and 25 cents at the second anniversary of the contract. The report emphasizes that a negotiated agreement between the parties remains the preferred outcome. The county has submitted a formal dissent to the fact finder's report, outlining concerns with the analysis and the recommendations, including the fiscal impacts and affordability of the fact finder's recommendations. In addition to the fact finder's report, under Welfare and Institutions Code Section 12301.61, Subdivision F, a county may be subject to withholding of 1991 realignment funds if all the conditions of the statute are met. It is unclear at this time if the parties will reach an agreement within 30 days of the release of the fact finder's report, or how an overseeing body or court will interpret the penalties set forth and the criteria which requires there to be an expired MOU between IHSS workers and Siskiyou County. It is recommended by staff that the board receive the fact finder's report, the county's dissent to the report, and the staff report that is included in your board documents. This fiscal impact will depend on the board's direction and any potential agreement that is reached, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Bring it back to the board. Let's just start. You have anything?
No. So, there's penalties involved if there's a criteria that we would be penalized if we don't agree to something? I'm trying to interpret how this is going to be.
Yeah, of course.
Because that seems inefficient to me to, you know.
So, the statute states that there are several items that have to be met, and if that occurs, then there could be withholding of realignment funding. If any of those conditions are not met, then it's not applicable. In this case, because the county has never had a contract with IHSS, it is unknown if there would be a fine or not.
So I would just say, in general, you know, one of the things that this has been, as a supervisor, ongoing for me, dealing with, and I'm sympathetic to what they're dealing with, you know, truly. But this was a state program that was initiated, and I've just seen the cost skyrocket. I just wonder how it's going to affect us fiscally. How do we survive in the environment where we have no control over cost? Mm-hmm. I mean, can we cap it somehow? I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I've yet to see, and the ball keeps changing because when the state's ready to do it, something happens fiscally. Like, look at the next 2 years that we're going to be in. they're saying to use, but who knows how far? Because they, you know, every time I'm down in Sacramento, I talk to whoever the elected official is, when are you going to help us out here? Because it should be a state program, because they're the ones that initiated, and basically it's an unfunded mandate. And that's what I'm struggling with. Where am I going to, if I was to give a raise, which we try to struggle with our employees, we're minimally giving 3%, that's not even staying up with inflation. What's going to affect, if we carte blanche not think about the fiscal impact, how it's going to affect services in this county? You know, that's a struggle. So, I just want to put that out there, what I have to deal with in a bigger picture.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. I, too, struggle with this, too. Have for 12 years now, every year. My understanding is that should a board ever approve a contract, there's no way to get out of that.
Correct.
In the future. So if we commit dollars today, not knowing what the future is, we're committed in perpetuity?
Correct.
Okay. And then do you have a ballpark figure of in the fact finder's report there was a $1 per hour increase piece? Do you have a total budget figure of what that means on an annual basis to the general fund?
Sure, Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator. To answer that question, Supervisor helped. The ongoing cost would be approximately $107,000, and that would be in perpetuity, and then, of course, the unknowns that the state comes down with later.
So, annually, okay. So, that's my struggle. You know, for the SEIU folks who are still listening, my struggle is an unfunded mandate that you brought up, thrust upon us by the state, having to take it from general fund, and then with declining tax receipts coming into the county over the years and escalating costs that are far exceeding the net difference between the gross and net that we have in the budget process and the budget cycle every year. The only place I can go, because I've committed in perpetuity this funding mechanism, is to take it out of the employees that we have working in the general fund. And as a supervisor, I think it's irresponsible on my part, and I'm not willing to do it. That's what I struggle with. Because those general fund employees are serving the general population in public safety and delivery of programs throughout the county. That's what I struggle with and have for 12 years.
Thank you.
I'll just add on a little bit. I mean, the difficulty is it's a state program, and the state of California seems to find hundreds of millions of dollars for everyone except even this unit. And the state of California needs to step up and deal with their program and fund it. They can't just throw it on the counties.
Well, you just add into the effects of what HR1's going to do to this county.
Yeah.
Again, you know, we have no control over these things. And I don't want to say we have control over our employees, but we negotiate, right?
Correct.
And I think, and you heard one of the comments, we came to agree with two units who I think are cognizant of the predicament we're in.
Yes.
We are consistently 56, 57, 58 at the lower end of counties. Mm-hmm. We just lost a mill in wheat. I mean, we're not doing well economically, and I struggle how we get out of that. And if we could lift all boats, then there's more money to spend, right? Why can't we partner with the unions to go to the state? Hey, you need to step up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, there's an unlimited amount of people that can sign up for something, and we have no say in the matter.
Yeah.
And so that's an uncontrolled cost that. How do I balance that with, because the last thing I want to do is cut services on the other end that we're already providing.
Okay. If we need a vote.
You need a motion to accept or?
It was just a discussion and possible action.
Okay, but there'll be more.
Oh, yes.
There'll be more coming on this. Okay.
Thank you. Item 10C, amendment approval.
No corrections there.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Kopsev?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
And Director Howe?
Abstain.
Oh, for that one.
Item 11A, appointments, county clerk.
Alrighty.
Behavioral Health Services Board.
Yeah, this is an unscheduled vacancy on the Siskiyou County Behavioral Health Services Board. This would be for a term ending December 31st, 2027, and this is due to a resignation of James Elliott. The clerk's office did our posting as we normally do, as well as sending press releases out. And at the time the worksheet was created, the clerk's office had received a letter of support to appoint Sean Williamson to the Behavioral Health Services Board.
Move to approve.
And that's Mr. Williamson, correct?
Yep.
Thank you.
Second.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howell.
Aye. Minute approval, take those separately.
Yes.
Move to approve the first one.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howell.
Abstain.
And then for the next one.
April 14th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howell.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to do board and staff comments before we go to close. Pass. Who's up?
I'll pass.
Pass.
Yeah. I was at the American Forest Resource Council meeting in Washington, and it was very informative this year. The number of presentations that were pretty important and key to Siskiyou County, one from the Chief of the Forest Service was there. We're hearing a lot of turmoil in the public about reorganization, and I will tell you that that's probably all true. The facts about what's happening probably aren't so true, but there's a lot going on. One of the things that I confronted the chief on is the most concerning, I think, to our constituents, and certainly me here in Siskiyou County, is being able to influence the fire suppression efforts, because you're not following this. The fire organization and the agency is being moved to the Department of Interior as a nationwide fire response organization. With that said, as much as we like to complain about fire response in the county on some of our fires, what I fear is that we're going to lose our local influence when a team does come in. They're not going to be working for the local management of the Forest Service. We have to live here with us and put up with us year-round. They're going to work with somebody else, and our ability to intervene like we have to protect our citizens and work with them, I think, is going to be more difficult. I point to the scope by law enforcement and the Forest Service, what they did with that a number of years ago, and basically removed any local influence from us here. And it strains relationships between agencies trying to coordinate with the federal entity. And I don't know what is in the future with CAL FIRE and some national organization that way. Right now it's pretty cohesive. We work pretty well together. With that said, the American Forest Resource Council's perception is too much too fast in all this. That was pretty much their snapshot. A lot of this is, from my perspective, having worked in the agency, had to be done sooner or later. Part of it's moving the agency more responsive to a state government and local government, and that the regional offices are going to be more located close to the capital of each state, and the regional offices will be pared down in personnel, and they're only a conduit to the local offices in the future, which are supposed to increase in numbers so they can actually do work on the ground. We'll see how that works out. Wasn't good news on log prices and the industry in general. We are to expect more mill closures, not less. The Asian markets are pretty flat and declining as far as log exports, which is really killing places like Coos Bay and the Oregon markets up there. The movement everybody hears about from the blue states to the red states is affecting the lumber demand as well. So a lot of the West Coast producers are moving to the south, the southern part of the United States, to get closer to where the demand is. And that's why we're going to see a lot more mill closures. There's been about a 35% reduction in exports from Canada due to their initiation of their form of the Endangered Species Act up there. They're also not subsidizing their logging like they did in years past, so anything that that they were contributing is much higher in price as a raw product coming this way. But I wish I could say something good, but I can't. I learned a couple of the things that I learned that the cogen plant in Weed is likely to be sold off, dismantled and moved, is what I'm hearing there. Fire situation coming up this year, we are at 1.8% snowpack of normal, which doesn't sound good for us. The worst part of that too is that in the federal breakouts that we did at the session, the federal government in California is down to four teams to be able to respond. They typically ran between six and eight. That's going to make leadership pretty hard, which means for us locally, we'll probably, because we tend to lap up resources for a very long time, we'll probably get less than highly qualified teams, lesser qualifications. They're qualified at the level, but the complexity they'll be able to respond to here is probably going to be greater than what their certifications are. Those are always a rodeo for us when that happens. So I wish I had better news. I really don't. the only good news is that the agency's been mandated to put out more product. Bad news is the mills aren't very big. So we'll see how that pans out. That's the end of my report. And with that, we're going to move to closed session.